All right, Pickle Peeps, let's rock. In today's episode, Joe and Reese revisit their conversation about animals and chat about the new pickle and bootleg chicken seasoning. The guys sing the praises of episode 97.28, before finishing off the conversation about Flamme Grant and the American Church. The pickle and boot shop, you probably do hate it.
I saw some video footage of one of the shows you guys did, and you were dancing like Fred Astaire.
I was.
Yeah. You were really cutting a rug there on the old Five Iron Frenzy show.
The only one I've seen is me. I point at my two children who are in the front row. And then I start dancing as spastically as possible. And then I fall on the ground and I try to run in a circle while I'm on the ground.
I saw that one too.
And then I got up and I was dizzy and I almost fell off the stage.
I call that the old, like Three Stooges.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Curly do that?
Yeah.
He would like run in a circle on the ground.
Yes. It's a real good move, except nobody can see what you're doing.
Yeah. It looks like you're struggling to get up.
Yeah.
If you don't know
like,
the
he's
move.
Been down on the ground a long time. Yeah. The four people in front are like, that's power. That's a power move, man. That guy.
In the same sense, if you don't know what breakdancing is and mm-hmm. you see someone breakdancing, you might think they're fighting a ghost.
Yeah. Maybe they are.
I mean, they could. I just assume they're breakdancing. Maybe it's been the opposite all these years.
Maybe they're
people
like
have been fighting ghosts, and I'm like, oh, that guy's breakdancing, and that guy's just screaming for help.
Yeah, or maybe a guy in modern times is like, why did she leave me? Where's my Fiero? And he's fighting that ghost.
Yeah, he's got his boombox up on his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
Playing some Fiero? Sort of. LL Cool J.
Ladies love Cool J.
And I'm thinking he's dancing, breakdancing, and it's really, he's fighting a poltergeist.
Right. Right. You know, there's a lot of kind of geists besides the polter.
Like,
you
the
know,
Zeit.
We never talk about those. Yeah, Zeit. There's a Zeitgeist.
What is Zeitgeist?
It's like the spirit of the times. But really, in German, it means time ghost, which is how Germans talk. Like, everything is haunted, and they're morose.
I can't really do a German accent. The Zeitgeist of the times.
The German people love the Zeitgeists.
The German people love the Zeitgeist.
Sie müssen ein Zeitgeist in die Scheiße machen!
Dumm Bleistift ist kaputt.
What's up, dude?
Nothing.
What are you up to?
Nothing. I've had a couple of days off. I got tomorrow off. And then,
what?
Yeah.
Because you're doing 312s?
Well, get this. Get this. Things have hit the fan.
Oh, no.
And
are you on suspension?
No. So things have hit the fan. This week, I work Wednesday and Thursday, 12-hour shifts.
Yep.
Then I'm off the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then starting on Monday, I work 12 hours Monday, 12 hours Tuesday, 12 hours Wednesday.
Three 12s.
16 hours on Friday, 17 hours on Saturday, and 12 hours on Sunday. I work 81 hours next week. So I'm not really looking forward to time moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, 81 hours.
Who did your schedule?
Well, here's the problem. In this little town that I live in called Royal Oak, Royal Oak is taken over by a business fella who brings all these, since Royal Oak's like the hip town to be in, this guy brings all these like festivals here.
Okay.
And so the summer is just packed with all these festivals. One of the things, this guy doesn't bring it in, but it's Royal Oak is like a big, it's just a town where everyone wants to be. So there's all these things here throughout the summer. And one of them, it's called Dream Cruise. It's called Woodward Dream Cruise.
Oh, yeah. It's where all the cars come?
Yes. Yep. So you're familiar with it.
You talked about it last week, last year.
Yeah.
What is it called? What's that segment of time called?
A year.
300. A year. Thank you.
A rotation. An orbit.
This is why people are so confused being my friend. I'll be like, every January 1st, I'll be like, I'll see you next week. And they're like, you mean see you next year? But then I keep saying it. Really confusing. Anyway, go ahead.
And then you look at your watch.
Hey, have you seen my watch? It fell out. It's over there when I was lifting the 4,000-pound TV.
Oh, at least you know where it is. I thought you were just wearing the watch band.
I believe it is over there somewhere. It could be in the wall. I put a speaker up over there, and it could be in the speaker hole.
Oh.
Yeah, no biggie. No biggie.
Ooh. Yeah, so anyway, that Dream Cruise is messing with me. So, summer, working the summer here in Royal Oak, working for the city sucks because of all these festivals and things that we have to work for. I got to be roofing. I got to be on duty roofing. So it makes it so, you know, toward the end of the summer, you're trying to get in like last vacations, last kind of getaways and stuff like that with your family. And it makes it so you can't.
Hey, when does school start for your kids?
August 28th.
Jeez. That sounds reasonable. My kids, 2 days. It starts August 9th. What kind of fascist regime are they running there in Stanton?
Here's the thing. In Michigan, they passed a law here in Michigan that all public schools have to start after Labor Day.
Oh.
However, if you can apply through your county school district, like the county school system, for your district to get a waiver to start early. So the year that they passed it, they passed this law like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. And then everybody just puts in for the waiver and they grant it to everybody. So like Ella, who goes to university, because it's a public university, like she starts after Labor Day.
I like how you said that, like a European. She goes to university.
Yeah.
Instead of my daughter's in college. Like the rest of us common folks say.
Oh.
That's really impressive, Joe.
Well, I think my brain, like if you're in community college, I think I call it college.
Yeah.
And then you go to a university, I think I call it university.
You go to university.
Yeah. Although, no, that's not correct either. Because I would say like my favorite college team is Notre Dame or Michigan State, you know. So I don't know. Maybe when it's someone is attending college or someone is attending university. Because if somebody was attending Notre Dame, I would say, yeah, they're going to university.
They go to university.
They go to university. Yeah? They study artwork. They study Fabergé eggs.
They study boulangerie.
Why do Russians put a premium on Fabergé eggs?
I think because they make them. They're beautiful, and it's like a heritage thing.
Is a Fabergé egg like a real egg?
No, I think it's like a jewel-encrusted orb.
Okay, so there's not a real egg underneath there.
No, but I bet if you could afford a Fabergé egg, you could probably ask for a real egg inside.
What is Fabergé? What does that mean?
I don't even know.
Maybe is there like an art of Fabergé? Because like I think like paper mache. Is it like Fabergé paper mache?
Somebody write in and tell us.
Somebody.
Yeah. Anybody want a paper mache egg too? Joe is volunteering to make
some. Now, here's something. I remember when we were younger, I remember my sister at Sunday school, like on Easter Sunday, she did like a sugar egg. Did you ever do that? She did an egg that was like completely made of like, it was almost like you soaked a bunch of sugar. So where the sugar became like sand.
Yeah.
And then you like made an egg. And inside it was like a little diorama. Like inside the egg, there was like a little Easter scene. What? But then the egg was like made of sugar. Like you could then eat the egg.
Did you eat it?
I didn't. It was my sister's, but I was always tempted.
There was an Easter diorama in it.
I've had Easter diorama before from ham.
Yeah, I had that too.
Oh, speaking of ham, guess what I bought?
Deviled eggs. Speaking of ham, while we're on the subject.
Guess what I bought? Hmm? A half a hog.
Did you really?
I believe it's a Berkshire hog. My buddy raises them, and it's supposed to be like the top of the line. It's like Wagyu hog.
Wagyu.
So you know how like when you go to a grocery store and you buy like pork chops, they're like these like pinky, almost white chops. Mm-hmm. This, the meat is like red, and it's got intermuscular fat like a Wagyu steak.
Okay.
But it's pig.
How do they make it so good? They just feed it nice things.
It's instead of feeding it trash. Yeah, like the breed of pigs that they just mass produce for the masses.
Like me.
Yeah, like from what I've been told, the flavor and the color, like the quality is bred out of them. Uh-huh. And so select farmers like decide, hey, I'm going to make, you know, like same thing with like Wagyu beef. Those steers, those cows, whatever they're called, that are slaughtered.
I have no idea what Wagyu beef is. It just sounds tasty and fancy. I know it's fancy beef that people are into. That's all I know.
Yeah, so like the beef is like crazy. Like if you look at a steak, it looks like it's got like spider webs in it. Because that's all the intermuscular fat, which is the flavor. Like the flavor isn't that big, thick rind of fat on the outside of a steak. It's all the stuff within the tissue. So Wagyu is like that. And if you can find like an Wagyu, I forget what it's called, like an A5 or something like that. It's bananas.
Okay.
I've never had it, but this hog, I believe it's a Berkshire. But I could be wrong.
Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah. And so I went in and got half of it. And so today I got all my meat. So it cost me a ton of money. But I have pork for 6 months. And I got all this stuff. But you want to know one of the things that I got? The jowls. As part of my package, I got smoked jowls.
But that's
cheese.
A good part?
I mean, it's part, right? Nothing goes to waste.
I want to know how much a half of a hog is.
$500
$500
Yeah.
I bought a quarter of a cow. It was $750.
Oh my gosh. I bought an eighth of a cow. My sister bought an eighth of a cow. So we bought a quarter of a cow. It was $250 each.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got for an five. Eighth.
So I overpaid.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you overpay because I don't know the quality. We got up here in Michigan, like we got a really good quality because again, it's my friend who's a farmer.
Yeah.
It was his neighbor's cow that we got butchered. And so it's kind of a friend price as well. So we got a quarter of a cow for $500. For a half a hog, it cost me $500.
That's a pretty good deal, dude.
Yeah.
I know the guy that grew the cow. It was my nephew. And he was just like, yeah, I'll charge you a regular price.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like your ex-wife. I'm like, you know what? Never mind. That's what I said.
Yeah, there's all like little tips and tricks. Like there's hanging weight. There's the weight. So like what'll happen is like they'll weigh the pig. So like let's just say to make everything easy.
Yeah.
Let's say they weigh the pig and it's 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's 500 pounds with all the organs in it and stuff and the fat.
Yeah.
But then once they gut it and then they start cutting out and like if you have like a pork roast and the chunk of meat is like the size of a cinder block, but there's 8 inches of fat around it. Like you don't want to have to pay for that fat because you're just going to cut that off. So there's like weight and then there's hanging weight. And hanging weight is kind of like after everything's kind of been removed, the meat that's hanging on the scale. So always make sure you go by like a good poundage of hanging weight.
Hanging weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man,
this has got to be fascinating for people listening.
Yeah.
Now, hey. I have to say this. The Pickle and Bootleg Shop.
Welcome back. The Pickle and Bootleg Shop.
Did you see?
Our good friend Ken and Brennan.
Yeah, did you see that they're making seasoning?
Did I see it or do I have some in my possession?
Oh, he said he's sending me some. So you actually got some?
Yeah, he handed it to me. My good friend Kevin.
What's it called? Like, get it. Whoop. Get out of my yard and give me my chicken seasoning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got it and I don't know what to do with it. He's like, just put it on your chicken. And I was like, above my head.
This is what you want to do.
Last time I cooked the chicken, I made my kids cry.
Get skinless, boneless thighs.
Mm-hmm.
Take your thighs, put them in a bowl, olive oil, salt and pepper, and then that seasoning. Just give it a good coating. Let it sit for about a half hour on the counter. Kind of come up to room temp.
Put that stuff on it. Then what
olive
do
oil.
Bake it.
Olive oil, salt, pepper, and then put it on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And do like get the grill nice and hot. Start it up. Let it get hot. Do you have a propane grill?
Yes, I do.
So turn it to medium heat for 10 minutes. And then after 10 minutes, put your chicken on it. Do you temp your meat?
No.
Okay. Because
is this something you should do? I like turn it off when it catches on fire.
Yeah,
you should
probably
get
a thermometer. Get a thermopen.
This is
then you
the
can't go
third
wrong.
Grill I've had because the other two I caught on fire.
Yeah, so the reason they're catching on fire is because the grease is catching on fire, so you need to clean your grill.
No, because that's where the flavor is, Joe. I don't know if you know anything about grilling, but you leave that on there.
Yeah?
That's the flavor.
Yeah?
People might say that that's a carcinogen. I'm going to argue, who wants to be 100? I don't. I'm going to eat a really greasy, dirty steak that has all the flavor from last time.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah, there is a little something to what you say. The drippings,
I'm not just talking out of my ass.
No, when the drippings hit, like Weber calls it a flavorizer. And it's kind of like a piece of metal that's like kind of like a triangle, like a roof above the flame. So when your drippings hit that, it creates like a little bit of steam. And so people think that that infuses into the meat. But once it's steamed off, it still collects on that burner, like the crusty stuff on the burner. So you got to scrape that off.
Off the burner.
Yeah.
With what? Your hands?
No, like, you know how, like, if you have like a wire grill brush? So you have like the wire brush, and then there's usually almost like a little razor, like scraper thing at the end of it.
Yeah, I've seen those in the store. Yeah. So I should get one.
Yeah. So you, after every, you know, every time you fire up your grill and you let it for 10
minutes. Every time?
Yeah.
No way. That's not worth it. I'll just go buy a new grill after this one catches on fire.
Yeah. You turn your grill on for 10 minutes, let it get hot. Then when it's hot, you scrape the. You scrape the grate, and then prior to that, before it's hot, you lift up your grates and then use that scraper thing and scrape off those, like the covers on the burners.
Yeah.
Because that's what's catching fire.
Well, what I like to call that is the numblins. That's the numblins catching fire.
Yeah, so scrape the numblins. And then you also got to keep
everything. You know when you go to Long John Silver's? And there's all that little brown chunky stuff they throw in there at the bottom. That's the numblins. But that's also in my grill. I don't want to get rid of the numblins. I love them. It's so good. You're like finished, but you're like, I don't feel like I can still feel the edge of my fingers. I feel like my circulation's still too good. And then you eat them up. You just eat the numblins out of the bottom of the package. And then you finally feel like I have achieved the highest level of cholesterol. I won at cholesterol, and then you feel your fingers going numb.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
I completely closed off the Widowmaker.
Yeah, that's the that's the numblins, guys.
Yeah.
Trust me.
When I'm all day long you hear a whistling because it's the blood trying to get through your jugular. just all day. You think it's white noise. You just hear. It's like when you squeeze the end of a balloon and you like pinch the end of a balloon. That's the blood trying to get through your jugular after eating the numblings.
Oh, the numblings. Oh, man. You
like how I use like the King's language? I said the numblings.
Yeah, and that's how they used to call it.
Damn numblings. And I was like, yes, the numblings.
I hear you. That's why you say university as well, Joe.
Because we're very woke. Something just popped in my head. Because we're very woke on this show.
Yep.
Guess who I just learned of, and I am excited to see at Furnace Fest.
Whom?
Have you heard of this hardcore band called Zulu?
No.
A hardcore band called Zulu, and it's an all black hardcore band.
Yeah.
Like Bad Brains.
Yeah.
But hardcore. And they are good. So if you like hardcore, check out Zulu. I just heard of them just a couple of days ago. And they're going to be at Furnace Fest this year.
Yeah. So I want to check them out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to make this to Furnace Fest.
No.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Still thinking about it.
Yeah.
But now it's getting close to it, and I'm
I think Leonore's going.
Mm-hmm.
Leonore asked, she's like, hey, can I play sax on a song? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. But like, I don't know what she's practicing. She can just get up there and like mime it if she wanted to.
Just tell the sound guy to cut it off. And then she can just pretend.
I'll just go over and boot the microphone that she's trying to play into. And push her off the stage.
Don't push her off stage.
I'll push her off the stage and say, that's for Reese. You had it coming.
Okay. That's a good idea.
I got the hair back on. I got the piece.
That's good, Joe. The rug. Do you wear that? You wear that at work or what?
Sometimes.
You should.
I think I have I said it last time. I think I have a very David Koreshian vibe.
With that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, definitely. I hope with those glasses.
I hope my normal everyday life isn't.
No, normally you look like a white supremacist, but with this, you look David Koreshian.
Yeah.
It's a step up, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You like it?
Yeah. Very Thank much.
Thank you. You know, it just harkens me back to a simpler time.
It does.
A simpler time when I had hair. When I had a mullet, mm-hmm. I had the sides shaved, I had the top just feathered, just so beautifully feathered. When it first got cut, it was like a spike, and then after a few days or weeks, it would just be a nice coiffed. It would be like a nice coif that I would feather back with mousse.
Joe, if a skullet, if that became like the fad skullets,
yeah,
like all the high school kids and all the baseball players were like skullets, like they'd shave on top and then long. It would just be a ring around and then long hair. Would you do it?
I would need money.
Yeah.
Like I would need, if it was like, hey, you need to grow
I'll start a Kickstarter right now.
Yeah. You need to grow a skullet down to your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I would need a grand because that.
What do you think about growing out long hair down at the roofer force?
I don't think I could.
It's not in the dress code. They're nope. You can only grow a mustache
and beard
or a beard. They accepted beards now.
Yeah, that's why I have a beard, dude.
Oh,
you think I just grow this like in a day?
That's what I thought.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah. No. Hey, speaking of which.
Yeah.
You said you hate animals.
So our discussion.
Are we going to talk about this?
Yeah.
What is that?
I loved our discussion that we had on the last podcast. I started doing some studying on crows.
Mm-hmm.
And Reese, I hate to break it to you. You were wrong.
What?
Crows only mimic. They only mimic. They don't learn speech. They only mimic.
No, I'm not making this up. There are accounts of people that have taught crows like up to 100 vocabulary words, and they use them to communicate.
Okay. So
here's normally I think they do. That was a bad idea. There's just chips sitting here.
Okay. Yeah, Pringles. Oh my gosh, half of it just fell in your lap. So anyway, from the discussion, I have found that people get the most angry about our animals? Podcast. We deal with animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mousetrap, forget it. People wanted us strung up by our ankles
after Not talking us.
About mousetraps.
I love mice. I try and save them. I catch them and I take them to the edge of the forest and I set and
then,
them free.
And then on this
habitat for them.
And then on this week's show, I want to say, is it William Thatcher?
William Thatcher.
Is that who? Let me check here. William Thatcher. His post, he said, great convo on animals being sentient and having souls. Wholeheartedly agree with Reese for once. That means he usually agrees with me. What a great dude. And then he said,
you get 1 point, William.
Yeah, but here's where then it goes downhill. He says, Joe needs to educate himself on this topic. So I said, how so?
How do I do it?
And let me read you Mr. William Thatcher's response to me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, now, you know me, right? So you know me. You know I have animals.
I know you.
I have a dog that I absolutely love. He's my little boy.
You kind of accept chow mein.
Yep. I kind of accept chow mein as a stepchild.
Your sister has a dead mummified baby on the wall behind you.
Yep.
I know all these things.
Oh, it's gone. Oh.
Where'd it go? It's like Silent Hill. It's like walking around trying to stab you in the night.
Oh, what's that? Annabelle, the movie or whatever. So this was his thing. He says, Jerk Yorkie, As someone raised around animals of many kinds, indoor and out, I can attest to them being both sentient, high intelligent, and believe they do indeed have souls through research and experience. Because they cannot speak and we do not take time to understand their language, that is not understand their language that is not at a lower level importance, or them being God's loved creation to be highly valued. I could go on and talk. I could go on to talk about how animals were created for our use, not abuse, factory farming, and how the most interaction most Americans have with these animals are as a piece of meat on their plate. They would have small ideologies. The lack of education is purposeful by the meat industry and lobbyists. I work with the Factory Farming Coalition that comes into schools to educate students on where their food comes from and the ethics of it. 100% of my students didn't know what they learned. Anyhow, my challenge is to you, Joe. Joe meaning me. My challenge is to you, Joe.
Not Joe meaning me.
Correct. Me. Uh-huh. My challenge is to you, Joe, is to form a bond with an animal where you're dependent on it for something, safety, friendship, even food, and see if it doesn't open your eyes on how much we have to learn from animals and that they are far from more than rudimentary creatures. I prefer them to most people because of their lessons on peace, loyalty, and hard work. And for those of you reading who are also uneducated, so he's saying I'm uneducated because he's believing that I'm reading this.
Mm-hmm.
So as for those of you reading this who are also uneducated that want to hit the laugh emoji, shame on you. So I went back and I said, William Thatcher, I agree with you 99%. I am a huge animal lover. I just don't think they have this giant range of emotion and or have thoughts in their heads like humans do or as Disney likes to project. William came back and said, not Disney, but they certainly do. We just don't take time to understand how they express them.
Yeah.
And I said, that's where you lose me, but I agree with all the other stuff. And he said, that's why I gave you a challenge. And so then I went on to write another big thing back. And I said, William, I don't need to be challenged. I love animals. I love my dog. My dog is great. He's probably the 9th dog I've had in my life. I got Chow Mein. My niece has guinea pigs up here that I don't really hang out with, but I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
I love the deer on the Ortonville property, the turkeys out there. I love animals. I love nature. I love all that stuff. I am down with, we just talked about getting halves of cows and hogs. I enjoy to be able to get my meat locally and not from some big factory nasty place. I find it absolutely disgusting when you buy chicken at the grocery store and the bones of the chicken are purple, because that means that the chicken was raised too quickly.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. So like if you buy like chicken wings, you mainly see it in chicken wings. So if you buy like chicken wings at the store to cook them yourself, a lot of times the bones on the inside, so you'll eat the meat and then the bone is like purple. And that's because the chicken grew too quick for market, you know, in these factories. I think that disgusts me. Like, that kind of stuff disgusts me. So I'm with him. I just don't think that, like I'm looking at Grim right now. And he's laying in his bed. He's got his tongue sticking out. And I know for a fact that he feels safe, that he feels secure, that he knows he's loved. And then he's just tired. He's kind of snoring. But I just don't think that, like, he's sitting there. I just don't think he's got, like, he's not doing math and, like, plotting how, you know, he can do all this stuff. Like, I just don't. He's a dog. He does dog stuff. Like, that's it.
But Like,
but I don't hate animals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not that. I think it's like the whole discussion that we had was whether or not like it is a. I keep going back to the concept of a soul, like whether or not that is a being, it has a soul, or it's just like chemical signals working off each other. And I don't think anybody that has a dog or cat thinks that. I don't think you think this is just a chemical reaction. This is just a pre-programmed reaction that this has to stimulus. I mean, definitely a lot of what animals do is that. What we do, a lot of what we do is just that. But there's something else. And that's the thing. I think that like we're at this point in the human society where we don't have to murder everything to protect ourselves or to eat it. And we can start being like more just sentient of does this thing think? Like, does it have feelings? Is it able to have affection and love? Can it communicate? And so that's what I was trying to say is like, I think there's enough evidence to say, yes, there is. And I think we should explore that because I think it's really cool.
And I agree with that. I agree with the absolute baseline of that animals and stuff like that have emotion, have feelings. You know, hey, you get the favorite toy out, the dog gets happy, stuff like that. You know, if you have two dogs and one passes away for like a little while, it seems like the other dog is like mourning the loss. Like,
yeah.
Where'd the other dog go?
Seems like it. Like, come on, dude. You know this what? Is happening. Like, it's real.
That's what I just said.
Dogs, it's not just seems like. They have feelings.
Okay, so I said seems like. So it appears that they... I don't know. What do you want me to say? What, I don't understand what I said wrong.
It appears like... I mean, like, do you talk about humans like that? It appears like that guy is not just a... It's not just a sequence of pre-programmed... Well,
because I know that.
Right.
Right. I don't understand what I just did. I don't understand what I just did to upset you.
No, you just are like, it seems like that dog is sad about the other dog. Instead of... I mean, it's obvious that dog has feelings that, like, it's easy to be like, yeah, that dog is not really processing what has happened, like, on the same level as we are.
Correct.
But it is
feeling. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems as though it misses the other dog. Like, from me looking at it, that's what it appears. I don't. Uh-huh. But, like, I don't think that, like, dogs are like wake up and like, oh man, I miss my mom. And you know what? I was thinking if I could get to the park today, like you know how like Disney, I keep saying that, like how Disney will take an animal and give it completely like a human inside.
Not so really.
Like, so like
there's still animals in Disney movies. They're just like a little bit more anthropomorphized than normal animals.
So like, I don't think Grimm like wakes up and like, man, I really wish I could go to the park today, but I can't. So where'd I put that bone? Oh, I think the other day I was playing with it over here. And but like, I don't think they're going through all of that. I don't believe that like a dog or a cat is thinking like, man, I remember like 4 years ago when I went to the park, like, you know, or I wish Joe would get me a new ball.
So, like, but think about like think how that. You process things if you didn't have language, though. You would just be like, that person that was here isn't here. You would just think of the absence of that person or the thing you liked, the ball or the, you know, like the going to the park. I feel like they function at that level. I feel like they are like this. I like that ball. I like this person that feeds me and pets me.
Right.
I like the warmth of that person.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's what I believe they have. They have that basic, I pick the ball up. I've already said this. I pick the ball up. It's their favorite ball. They like to play with it. But it's because the ball is there. Like, I don't think he's thinking of the toy that he had 4 years ago that broke all of his teeth.
I don't know. Is he?
I don't think he does. No. So, like, that's where I think it, that's where I don't think animals go to that. I don't think they go back to, like, these past far memories or can, like, put stuff together to be, like, if he's laying in bed right now and he's thinking, like, oh, man, tomorrow I hope Dad takes me to the park and we can do this and we can do this and we can do this. I don't, I just think he's sleep. He's like, I'm tired. I'm sleeping right now.
Sure.
He enjoys that sleep, and that what he loves lately is when the room gets super cold with the air conditioning, I tuck him in with the little blanket. So I do the little burrito wrap to him, and he loves that. Mm-hmm. And I know he loves that because of the way that he responds to that.
But he probably thinks about it without the language to describe it. Like, he probably thinks about it as, like, there's still some hope in that feeling or that image. And my point is that not just dogs and cats, but I think mammals and birds. No, I think mammals and birds have souls. I think that they can, like, we are like them in this way. And we should protect that. Like, we should be more aware of that, and we should try and work to understand that more than just about, like,
what about reptiles and bugs? Like, you, how come only birds and mammals?
I'm just not convinced that there's anything in there besides just responding to stimulus. Maybe. I mean, I've never had a snake or a lizard, but it seems to me like they're just trying to do what is programmed in there. Which, by the way, we are too. We just kind of have, like, another level above that where we're like, yeah, I'm probably not going to eat that. It'll be bad for me. You know, like, we have a little bit more, but we're still operating on
the numblins.
We're still animals. We still are like, I need to get as much sugar as I can, as much fat as I can, and I need to procreate. Like, we're still on that level all the time. Most of what we're doing is that. Us competing for the attention of women, us competing against each other, us trying to get more sugar and fats into our bodies all the time. That's what we're doing. But, like, we are also able to intellectualize that and think around it. We're able to be like, you know, the fats taste better if you grill it this way and you get this cow.
Yeah. Or
the sugars are better if we get it in the way of rum.
Yeah.
Because it helps you talk to more women. We think that way.
Oh.
Yeah. We're still animals.
Well, right. But now I feel like we're going to have people coming at us because birds and mammals. And now how come a worm? Now I think the tables have turned.
Because I don't think worms have souls. I'll have to talk with somebody.
They're just soulless. They're just soulless little
tubes that eat
and
have five hearts.
They
eat dirt, have five hearts. They do experience pain, but it's stimulus.
I don't know about this picking and choosing stuff.
They don't have brains. They have a neural net.
But who's to say? Who's to say that little worm's not thinking about what he was worming about yesterday?
I don't think there's enough
compost.
Room in there compost for an operating to clay, system.
And he was like, man, I need to get me back to that compost.
Mm-hmm.
And same with, like, an iguana or a turtle. Is a turtle? A turtle's a reptile, right?
A turtle is a reptile.
Yeah. So, like, what about a turtle, man?
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing going on up there?
I don't know.
Just wiring?
That is my thought. That, like, the behavior that we ascribe to turtles is just them, like, trying to look for food or escape from us.
Because we can't, like, teach a snake to, like, step on a pedal and then get, like, a biscuit.
Yeah. I don't think they can train snakes. But not that that's evidence of what I'm saying is having a soul. Or even, like, having higher mental function.
Well, it lends itself to that.
Yeah.
It lends itself to that if you can't train an animal to...
Yeah, I just think you can measure that in, like, how big is your brain? Like, you know, like, cephalopods, octopus, and squids, they're highly intelligent. Octopus, they think, communicate to each other through changing colors. That's mind-boggling. They can solve really complex puzzles. They think they're smarter than like, most dogs.
What about the old cuttlefish?
Oh, those are also cephalopods, though.
Yeah, and they can change color like freaking ridiculous. Watch like a 30-second YouTube video on cuttlefish.
Just watch it right now.
They're like the predator. They can like do all sorts of like color. They can go clear. I believe they can go clear like the predator, man. They're pretty cool. But it's weird that, like, cuttlefish, I watch videos of them, and they're, like, the coolest fish in the sea.
They're not fish.
What's that?
They're mollusks.
And then we eat them. We eat them, like, with sushi. Like, cuttlefish is, like, a regular thing to eat.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. Last week is we should maybe rethink this. Should we be eating pigs? Should we be eating dogs? Should we be eating cows?
I definitely think we
chickens can, for sure. They're dumb. Like they need to be. I definitely
think we can eat animals, and I don't think there's anything wrong with eating animals. But I think there's a big issue with overdoing it. Like it makes me angry. Like I enjoy watching like cooking shows and travel shows and stuff like that, and it makes me angry, like those like wet markets in like Asia and stuff.
Yeah.
Where there's tons of like creatures that are like still living in like a bucket that's full of water. And you know that that's not lasting the day. Mm-hmm. So if they don't sell those 80 cuttlefish that are in that dirty tank, let's say they sell 4 cuttlefish, like what are you doing with the other 96? Like, that's what drives me nuts. And I know we could probably make fun of all sorts of, like, foreign countries and third world countries for their markets and stuff like that. But, I mean, even us, like, you go to a supermarket, you know, and just all the meat, all the chicken, all the frozen proteins and stuff like that, like, that drives me nuts. I'm the type of guy that I shop every day.
Yeah.
Every single day, I stop at the grocery store on the way home and I get the ingredients for what I'm making that day. So for me, like, I don't need to like go and buy, you know, 60 pounds of chicken from Tyson. And then whenever I want to use it, like, you know what I mean? Where you're buying that factory chicken, I would rather do like I did. Buy an eighth of a cow or a half a hog. That was one animal. I have all the meat from that one animal and then use that when I need it. I like that a little bit better than seeing just all the proteins in a supermarket. I was, like I said, I also just like coming home and I was like, okay, I want steak or chicken. I go and I buy the couple of chicken breasts or the, I don't eat the breasts. I eat thighs. But, you know, just get the thighs. I hate the, like, overdoing it.
Yeah.
Hate it. Hate it.
I'm with you on that. All of that. I think, like, the factory farming.
And commercial fishing just pisses me off.
Yeah. Whereas I think like most fish, they could just grow on farms and people would be happy eating that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, they go out in like the deep water and they're just nonstop pulling up nets and catching dolphins and catching whales and catching, you know, whatever. That absolutely drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Do you put fish in that reptile and bug?
No.
Of course. Well, you'd have to because you said mammals and birds.
Fish are not mammals or birds.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So do you think fish have souls?
No.
Okay. So that's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
But a dolphin is a mammal.
Yes.
So that's different. What about a shark?
Sharks are cartilaginous fish.
Yeah. Do you think they know what's going on?
No. I think they're just swimming around. They're just like killing machines that swim around and respond to stimulus.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. We should change this. This show has become the paid portion is music, and this is science.
This is just us talking about, like,
we're scientists, Reese.
Is there a soul plus science?
And then a bunch of our really, really, really smart fans. I think between you and our fans, I think I've been called uneducated 3 times this year.
Jeez, dude. I did not call you uneducated.
I think between you and our fans.
You're brilliant.
I've been called uneducated 3 times.
I did not call you uneducated.
Yeah. So I think we're about the end, right? We're at the 50-minute mark. We got 10 minutes.
Do you want to talk about this other stuff you wrote up here? Episode 97.28. Did you listen to it?
I did.
So that whole episode we did about Mackinac Island, your part didn't come down, right?
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah. And so Kevin Brennan, who's hooking you up with the chicken rub, he and his homeboy and his son, who's known as the Coug, they made their own podcast.
And it was absolutely freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's them talking about Mackinac Island.
Yeah, from the backlash of our listeners not liking my commentary, that you should do that every week. Like every week, me and you sit down and talk and then just drop my audio. And then
you're the talent here. I'm just the guy that goes,
I'm the buzzsaw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that, in all honesty, I texted him, I messaged him. That was so creative.
Yeah, it really was.
So fantastic. I obviously, because we do this show, like I will listen to it because I want to get better and I want to hear if I'm saying like a lot and try and, you know, just try and critique my own performance. And I don't laugh a whole lot when I listen to us. You know, we've talked about it, we've moved on. So there's not a whole lot that we say where I like start laughing. I was laughing like out loud at how good that was. Like the first 5 minutes, I was dying. Like I thought that was so creative and so cool. And even though I'm nowhere in that thing, I thought it was really like, I'm going to sound really corny, but I felt really special that somebody took the time to use our program and do something so creative with our thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to minimize them and call it fan art. Like that seems to me that kind of has like a negative connotation to it. But in that sense where it's like people that are a part of this crazy little community that we did, like took our work. And even though, you know, like I said, because of whatever case may be, I'm not on it, the audio wasn't there, that they were able to create this like so cool thing. I thought it was great.
I agree. Very cool. It was very cool.
My head was love it hot. I had to take off my rug.
Oh, geez, Joe.
What's this thing, Flamey Grant?
Oh, man. So there was like all this uproar last week. There is a guy was a worship leader in his church, and he started doing drag. So, I'm not sure, like, I'm not sure at what point this switched over to making music as this drag character that he is, sometimes, but this drag character, she's called Flamey Grant, and he put out music in it, and it went to like the top of the Apple Music Christian charts. And it's actually, I mean, it's not my thing. It's kind of country, but it's pretty good. And I don't know. I mean, you have to check it out on YouTube, but I love two things about it. I love that it's like pushing against like this thing in the church where we're not inclusive, or like it's all about being good. All this bullshit that I think the church has glommed onto for 2,000 years, where it's just like, hey, we're going to take this one verse from 1 Corinthians where Paul was like, just had no idea that it was going to be used as scripture, just writing a letter to the church, and used it as like, thou shalt not, you know, like women can't speak in church, or, you know, men should not have long hair, or, you know, like all these things that the church picked up on and have just been wicked about. For instance, like this, like, this guy dresses in drag, which is, I don't know. I mean, like, I realize for some people it's like, maybe identifying as a different gender, but I think for the most part, drag itself seems to be kind of like a alternate persona, like a costume, or like it's like a show, because not very many women dress like that. It's like, you know, drag queens are, it's like their own thing. And this dude is doing that and kind of pushing the envelope of what is accepted. And there's so many really conservative Christians that are just like losing their shit over it. And I love that. You okay. Should check it out. It's cool.
Okay.
And then like, Flamey Grant does a song with Derek Webb from Cademan's Call, where they're both in drag. The whole point is like the whole video is Derek Webb becoming a drag queen.
Oh, nice.
Which I don't know. I don't know if he's into that or what, but like, I just feel like it's something that the church needs to talk about. Not just this whole thing that I think the church needs to throw out, which is the idea that the gospel is about being good. Because I do not think that was the message of Christ. I think that like when people like the rich young ruler came to him and he was like, hey, what do I have to do to get into heaven? And Jesus just pulled his mail, you know, like he was like, well, what have you done? Like what of the commandments have you followed? And he's like, I've followed them all. He's like, well, there's one more. And he knew the one the guy wouldn't give up, which was to sell all his stuff and give it to the poor. And then says it is easier for, you know, like for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. And I think like the context of that whole thing is just him saying like, this guy was trying to go about his salvation or or to know God by following all the rules, except the one thing he wouldn't give up. And Jesus never does that to anyone else. You know, like he's never like, here's a laundry list of how to gain my affection or how to get into heaven. He just says, love God and love others. Those are the most important things. And then, you know, like I think Paul definitely through most of his epistles is trying to explain like how that meshes with Levitical law, like how that lines up with Hebrew law. So it's like, Paul's just like, look, even if you make up your own rules, you're going to fail. That's the beginning of Romans. Even if you're just like, step on a crack, break your mother's back, you're going to step on some cracks. You're going to break your mom's back. You're going to mess up. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You all need this. No matter what your rules are, you need God. You need mercy. You need grace. And not that you have to follow this list of good, 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 be good, keep trying to be good, keep trying to be good, 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 be better, and then God will finally accept you. It's that, like, once you realize that you are a sinner, that you have messed up, then where do you go with that? Like, once you realize that you are not good enough to, like, just mathematically, you have failed, so God can't communicate with you unless this thing happened. And once you accept that, you can communicate with God. You can be there with him. He accepts you as his son. That's, I think, the beauty of the gospel. And I think that, like, the church gloms onto, tends to take, you know, like these writings of Paul out of context. Like, we're going to treat this just like we did the Ten Commandments or Levitical law, which they're definitely not following. You know, like the church is definitely not following the false idols thing. We talked about having flags on the stage at every church in America. Like, that's an idol. You cannot believe in God and not be an idolater, because you cannot understand infinity. You cannot understand God. So, like, I love that Paul is just like, hey, this is not the point. We've all failed. No matter what your picture of God is, you failed. What matters is that Christ loves you, that he is merciful, and that this grace of him being perfect in your place is what will save you. You're getting tired, Joe.
I'm just listening to you. I'm just sitting here listening.
I feel like so much of the church, and I feel like the business of the church, whether it's just instinctive or because it's worked or because it feels comfortable, or because people are manipulative, so much of the 2,000 years of the church has been trying to build this machine of telling people how to be good, telling people how to get right with God, to be accepted, when that's not the gospel. The gospel is God loved you when you were a sinner. He loves you now, and you are a sinner. The gospel is that that Jesus was, he fulfilled all that Levitical law and all that Mosaic law so that you don't have to do that. All you have to do is believe that. And because of that love, you will love God because you have been loved, because you have that love, because that will fill you and you will love other people. You fulfill all the commandments just in that, just in loving God and loving others. So the idea that, like, these verses in 1 Corinthians where Paul was like trying to put out all these fires in that church, I don't think that's the way to interpret the Bible, where he's like, hey, women shouldn't talk in church. He was talking to specific women in that church that kept shouting over their husbands when they were talking. And he was like, hey, let's just go back to these old rules like we used to have in the temple. Just let the guys talk because this is confusing. Not like this is a commandment. And not like, because in that society in Corinth, there was a lot of cross-dressing. And he wasn't saying like, this is a sin. He was like, it's confusing in the church. You guys are getting in all these fights. Stop doing this. There was a guy who was sleeping with his stepmother. And he was like, you got to talk to that guy because this is causing division in the church. And I think as a church just have like created this machine where it's like telling people how to be good. And that gets factored into it. And I think a lot of that is them talking about sexual orientation and homosexuality and women's roles in the church. And I don't think that stuff belongs in there. Plus, personally, I don't feel like that is the point of community, is to tell people how to be good enough to be accepted by God. Here you go. That's all. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Reese Roper, we have brought this to an end.
Sorry, I soapboxed, dude.
I just, like, when you start
going. I know, I start, and you can't talk. Well, I'm so sorry.
No. And here's the cards on the table with me is I let you go because your perception is your reality. And it's not like anything you're saying is, you know, wrong. It's just the thing that always pops into my head is like, what churches have you attended that gives you this? We've talked about it before, that gives you like this aggression, or maybe that's not the right word, but this fervor to just go back at the church because about all this stuff. Like, we've talked about the flags, we've talked about all these things, and I just don't see it like in my church. And I would say over the past decade, I've attended three different churches, one being my main church, but I had to go to two others when my work schedule didn't allow me to go to my normal church. Mm-hmm. My normal church, one Sunday is preached by a female pastor, the next by a male pastor, and they rotate back and forth. Politics aren't talked about from the pulpit. Do we have an American flag, and do we have like, I go to the Salvation Army. So we have like an American flag, and then there's like a Salvation Army flag. Mm-hmm. And like at no time is politics talked about from the pulpit. Basically what you just said is what is preached from our pulpit. Like, our pulpit is like, the sermons that come down are just, you know, absolutely love. Like, it's never the churches that I attend up here. And you know what? Maybe by the roll of the dice, I've found the three churches that tick the boxes. But like, in 2023, I'm not attending churches where people are preaching about you have to be good in order to do this. It's quite the opposite, whether it's my church or like I said, the other two that I've attended over the past decade. You know, it's, we all suck.
Like, yeah.
We all suck in this grace and this mercy that isn't earned, that's freely given to anybody, whether you're wearing a dress, whether you're a dude who likes a dude, whatever the case may be, that is out there for anybody and it's free. And then once you accept Christ and that is who you want to be, and that is who you want to follow. Mind you, the Bible has once you've accepted that, you know, Christ into your heart, I would think that you would want to start becoming a better person in personal areas of your life. And when I say that, I mean like, even if you're hetero, even if you're straight, you know, if you come to know Christ, I would hope that within your heart, you're telling your brain like not to sleep with, you know, 10 women a month, mm-hmm. you know, like just normal things. Like you're doing, cocaine. So now that I've accepted Christ, I want to treat my temple maybe a little bit better. I want to, you know, cut back on like abusing my body or, you know, just different things like that. So I think that the churches that I go to, I think sometimes when when you lock in and you go, you know, and you start flowing on a subject.
Yeah. Because the Salvation Army is from that. Like, the Salvation Army came from the streets. Like, it was William Booth was hell bent on, like, we've got to save these orphans and end poverty. Like,
right.
It's a good church.
But it's a good church. And what William Booth started has been watered down by all those who have taken over the captaincy, or as they call it, the general, who's taken over like the head. You still have individual pastors preaching, and our pastors get moved about every 5 years. So mm-hmm. you have a pastor for 5 years and then they get transferred and a new one comes in. But it's whether it's a Salvation Army or the other two, like I went to another church called Woodside, and then just recently, I've gone to another one called Bridge something, out in Ortonville. But again, like none of them are like, I think when I hear you talk, I think like, all right, he's talking about churches in like the 18th century, you know? And so to think that what you're talking about now is what you've experienced lately in 2023, I don't see it. I think most people have experiences.
I think this is why church attendance is in such a strong decline, because I feel like people feel that the church is the lesser of the moral choices. Like when morality is like the morality of Christ is better portrayed by the actions of non-Christians than Christians, I think, people start to doubt it. You know, like when the Katrina happened, what was the one in Houston? There was a hurricane down there, and Joel Osteen, you know, they're just showing like his palatial mansion and that just how, you know, like how gregarious, like how just ostentatious his church was, and that they wouldn't open it up for refugees or anything. And you're like, you know, yeah, who is?
So like,
I get it. Me, the Salvation Army is. You guys for do me, it.
I don't look at Joel Osteen and say, well, he's Christians. You know what
Most
I mean?
Of like Christians, I do know. They see that. Like they hear Pat Robertson talking shit about like some dam breaking in Pennsylvania and him being like, well, it's because we allow homosexuals. And you're like, you know, because you see that, and then you see drag queens who are like have a program to go in drag to read books to kids in inner city schools. And you're like, that right there, like, how cool is that? It's like
somebody in drag reading a book to a kid is a great thing.
I want that for my kids.
Okay.
I want them to see it. Like, how cool is that? Drag queens are amazing. I think they're like, it's this own culture. It's like a persona. It's like a show. Somebody is getting to be somebody that they feel like they are inside. They get to put on all this makeup and dresses and stuff and just be this kind of showy, ostentatious, loud lady, and that's entertaining to me. It is so cool. And I think it's so cool for those, you know, those folk in drag to feel accepted and loved and like to go to schools and read books to kids in drag, like as this character. So cool.
Okay.
But I think the church for the most part, like kind of acts like that somehow that somehow is going back again to dispensationalism. I feel like so much of the evangelical church feels like the existence of that stuff is what's corrupting our country and God will destroy us again. Instead of like, this is a kind gesture. This person is doing something good for children. Why don't you do that? If you think that's the threat to you, like the threat is they're looking more like Jesus than you are. And when the rest of the world looks at your church, they see that you're a bunch of hypocrites. That's the thing, not the Salvation Army, Joe, but most of the other churches.
No, I mean, I don't stake my claim in the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army has a, what they call the Articles of War, that if you're a church member, you know, you promise to not drink, to not gamble, to not, there's this whole list of stuff that's just nonsensical man-made dogma. So like there's a ton of the Salvation Army that like I don't adhere to, but as far as the message coming off the stage by even those that are members is, you know, is the gospel by which you have said this is what they should be preaching. That's what I hear, whether it's at Salvation Army, whether that's at Woodside or Bridgeport or whatever the bridge churches out in Ortonville that I've attended. I mean, the other stuff I can't speak to. I'm not going to say somebody reading a book to a kid is doing more, is more like Jesus than what churches are doing.
I think it's more than like, Jesus than just telling that person they're a sinner and they're going to hell. Like that to me is the most like the less moral action. Reading a book to kids is a moral good. And then just standing on, you know, like getting on the internet or whatever, getting on TV and being like, those people are damned. That's not the character of Christ.
I wouldn't say anybody's standing up saying anybody is damned because we all know that we're all sinners.
Go on the internet. Go check out the YouTube.
But you can find anything on the internet. You know what I mean? And when I say you can find anything on the internet, I mean like you can always find something to like back what you're saying, or if you're looking for hate, you could.
No, but I mean, like, check the message board. Check the message thread after the Flamey Grant videos. Just see what the Christians are saying versus what the non-Christians are saying. Like, what the Christians, the so-called Christians, are just like condemning, angry.
I mean, saying I guess what
that
I do
person's
is
going
I,
to hell.
I guess what I do is I don't go to the internet. I don't go to the internet for my well. I go to the people around me. I go to my church. I look from left to right in my pew and those that are around me and who I play pickleball with outside of church and who I attend high school graduations with and those things. And the people in my church that I sit by are the people who I would stand shoulder to shoulder with anybody who would fall down on their knees and pray with a drag queen and you know what I mean? Like accept people. I don't see and I don't hear because I guess I'm not on the message boards. And I'm not saying this like in a slight to you. I don't want you to take this way.
That's all right, man.
But I'm just saying like I don't live in a message board world. I live in those that are sitting around me that I can shake their hand and hug them on a Sunday or throughout the week and stuff like that. And I don't hear that coming from them. So that is my church.
Yeah.
So that is the church that I know. So when I hear the church today says this, I think my circle is not that at all.
That's cool,
and,
Joe.
And I don't, and I would, I mean, I pray that I'm not, that Royal Oak isn't an enigma as far as Christianity goes. I would hope there's the same exact thing going on in cities all across the country. Are there bad apples? Yeah, there's bad apples in everything. You know, in every group, there's bad people that just don't show, that are hypocrites and all that stuff. But I just don't think it's the majority. And unfortunately, the fervor by which you are a warrior for is that it is, and that the majority of church and Christians are just, you know, just garbage.
I don't think that, but I think the majority of organized Christianity, especially in the United States, is. And that bothers me. I guess that's why I get so incensed about it.
I mean, I guess it would bother me if I came and stayed with you for a month and we went to all these churches around your neighborhood and that's what I was hearing, I'd be like, holy cow, you're right. Like,
yeah,
you're West Virginia. You're in West Virginia, right?
Virginia.
I'd be like,
I pronounce it vagina.
Your Virginia churches are messed up. No wonder you think this way. No wonder that's what you have to go off of. I would be fascinated to go into the churches and hear that, because that, again, that's just not what I hear. You know what I mean? And this is a stupid analogy, absolutely stupid analogy. But if it's like you were always talking crap about like McDonald's tacos and McDonald's pizza, McDonald's doesn't sell tacos and pizza up by me. So I'm completely baffled as to what you're getting. And so that's my Yerkeism with, like, in Virginia, if the churches are as bad as you make them out to be, yeah, I don't think I would want to be a part of Christians in Virginia or Christians in your circle seem horrible.
I don't even say, it's not even just that. It's like being in Fiverr and being in the Christian industry in what ends up being most of evangelical culture. Like, you would see that. We'd play at those churches, feel dirty, play at those conventions, play at those festivals, all that stuff. You got it. You got it at creation, man. Like, with DC Talk, and you couldn't go backstage. And
well, yeah, but like, I don't. So, I guess I separate the business from Christ. Like, I don't look at DC Talk being a bunch of like morons as like a, like, I don't take that out on God. Like,
no,
I don't,
I'm not
take
taking it out on God.
Like,
I'm,
I don't take
it
Joel,
out on,
like, I don't take Joel Osteen out on God or on Christians or the church. Like, he's an idiot. Like, I don't believe in prosperity gospel. DC Talk, don't like their music. The one guy in DC Talk, the other two guys I'm cool with, the one guy in DC Talk, absolute moron. I don't even blame the rest of DC Talk, let alone Christians in general or that, you know. And when you talk about creation, like we talked about it before, was it this mega money-making thing? Absolutely it was. Was it something that seemed like Jesus was prostituted? Absolutely it did. Mm-hmm. But I would have to think at the beginning it didn't start that, you know, like at the beginning I would think it was probably done by a guy who's like, man, it'd be cool to get all these bands that we love to listen to in the same area. And then it gets bigger and bigger and money's involved and this and this and this, and then it just becomes this giant machine. But at the same time, again, we've talked about this in the past, where me and you can be bitter about the band end of it and the what's on stage going out towards the people. And I'm sure there's people listening to this that went to Creation that are no longer Christians. I know we have tons of listeners that are no longer Christians and probably think the way we do when we talk about the moneymaker. But there's also people that listen to this podcast that was the way that they got their bands. That was the way that they went. And they were able to listen to bands like Five Iron and Insiders and DC Talk and whoever. And they had a great time. And
yeah,
they took friends and their friends' hearts were changed forever. And they came to know Christ through those types of events. So we got to peek behind the curtain and, you know, the word of the Lord never goes out void, you know, never comes back void. And so I feel like we know the sliminess that may have happened behind festival doors and things like that. But,
mm-hmm.
and even by bands themselves, you know, that are just slimy and still in it for the money and, you know, whatever the case may be. But I don't know. I think it's that person's heart. And I think if creation was put on, you know, like I said, when it started, it was put on for a reason. And we even have listeners, you know, we get messages every month. We get messages, you know, weekly, you know, saying we have a new listener and they say how much like Five Iron, you know, helped them through something or how much the Insiders, you know, helped them through something. And I don't know. So that's what I think. Like, I don't look at Kevin Max and put Christianity on him or Joel Osteen. I take the word.
I don't either. No, that's not my point. I'm not saying I do. I just think I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people see the church as that. And I think that's because it's just become this machine of like telling people to be good all the time. I think it sells seats.
That's what I'm not. And that right there is the McDonald's taco thing. Like, I don't, you know, I don't see that at my church. I don't see this like selling being good. You know, the churches that the three that I've attended in the last decade, you know, they're not selling good. They're selling if you're broken and if you have a hole inside you that you've tried everything else, you know, that hole, you know, the cliche stuff that we, you know, that we heard in youth group growing up, if you have that hole that you've tried to fill with everything in your life, you know, and Christ is here and we don't have to be perfect to come to Christ. We don't have to be perfect the day after we accept Christ. We don't have to be perfect 5 years after we've accepted Christ. There's no, you have to be. But I would think that if somebody accepts Christ as they walk down the path, whether that's over a week, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, I would hope that their hearts would continue to change to be more like Christ, more like Christ. And as you change to be more like Christ, I think you do stop with some of the idiocy in your life and, you know, some of the damaging to yourself, and you know, you start thinking about leaving a legacy and you know, just that kind of stuff. I'm not familiar with this. You have to be good at church. I'm not familiar with this concept.
All right. It exists.
Oh, I'm sure it exists. I just hope it doesn't. I hope it's not the majority. I'm a guy. I
hope so too, Joe.
I tend to think everything is a bell curve.
Yeah. You know? I just think and the perception of Christianity is that is the majority.
I just hope, because most statistics in life show everything on a bell curve. You have like the 10%, the 80%, and the 10%. And you have your 10% of people that are the most Christ-like, amazing people ever. You have the 80% in the middle that just kind of fluctuate a little bit back and forth, and they're just trying to hold it together. And then you got the other 10% that I think are the people that you're talking about. I would like to think it's 10% of the people you talk about, but they're the mouthy, loud 10% that are keyboard warriors that do stuff on the internet. So I just think God is too good and too amazing and too perfect to have the majority of his follow, because I'm nobody special. Shoot, I've been told 3 times in the last year that I'm uneducated by our listeners and by you.
Apparently by me.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
By you and listeners. So by your guys' own admission, I don't appear to be too smart of a fella.
Joe, I will punch you in the penis.
No, but listen to me. So I don't appear to be too smart of a fella by you or some listeners. And I think the concept of Christ is so easy. You don't have to be like a scholar. And so that's why I think if I am getting the message, I believe others are exactly like me. And there can't, like, Christianity today cannot be people still thinking. Now, mind you, I know there are. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the majority that you, like, if you go into 10 churches, I can't imagine that 8 churches are preaching, you got to be good, you got to be good, you got to be good. Like, you know, I hope that that's not true. Because again, I'm not a smart guy. And I've realized that that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm anything special. I'm not a biblical scholar. You've never heard me quote scripture on this show because I don't know it. I can't quote scripture. I know what I read. I know what I feel. I know what I'm taught, but I'm absolutely terrible at memorizing scripture. And so I don't quote it on this show because I'll misquote it. I get nervous when I try and quote, you know, scripture and stuff like that, because I know I'm going to screw it up or flip it around or something like that. So if I'm this terrible, but I grasp the concept of who Christ is and what grace and mercy and that stuff is, you know, I would hope I'm not in the minority.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
All right, dude, this is the longest podcast ever.
Yeah.
Let's go to sleep.
All right, cool.
With each other.
All right, cool. I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll be there in 8 hours.
We're going to cuddle.
All right. See you guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully this fired you up and made you think I am 1,000% Team Reese.
Or I am 1,000% Team Joe. There will be a survey online.
Nobody says that. No.
Come on, Joe. Yes, I do. I'm on your team.
It's not sad. All right, you guys. Go to bed. Go to work. Do whatever you do.
Some pizza.
Go play pickleball.
Oh, go play pickleball. Or go put a pickle on your ball.
Yeah.
Is that what? Bye.
See you.
Okay.